and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Goals can change your life. We heard the scripture read earlier in Joshua 1, 6 through 9, when the Lord God Himself was speaking to that great servant Joshua. You'll notice in that paragraph, He mentions to him several times two things: be strong and of good courage. He wanted Joshua to be strong and he wanted him to be courageous. He told him to meditate upon the law of God day and night. Follow all the commands that Moses' servant had given. Not to turn from the right to the left, but rather to stay true to God's direction. And then finally he said, don't be afraid or dismayed, because I will be with you wherever you go. Promise from God that God would be with him wherever. We can know that as long as we're in God's service, as long as we're doing God's will, that God will be with us wherever we go. I want to think with you about goals. Purpose is wonderful, but there must also be goals. Purpose is that long range pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Our purpose is that which is the channel or direction of all of our life. In John 18:37, when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him the question, "Are you a king?" Jesus replied, "To this end was I born, and for this cause or this purpose came I into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Our Lord was saying that His long-range purpose was to do God's will and to bear witness of the truth. He did that every day that He lived, every action that He took. Goals are really stepping stones to the ultimate destination. We need to have something concrete, something that is measurable. And these are what we call as goals. But sometimes when certain achievements are made, it's easy for us to relax because we do not have additional goals or we lose sight of purpose. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Notice in that second verse, looking unto Jesus, realize that we need to always have our attention and our mind centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Striving after those things. One of the poets has said that except our reach exceed our grasp, what's a heaven for? I believe the poet was saying that there are some things that we can reach, but we within ourselves cannot grasp. If we could grasp heaven, if we could attain it upon our own efforts, upon our own ingenuity, then what would be the purpose of the Lord's aid and strength? except our reach exceed our grasp, what's a heaven for? And that life should always have its goals, its stepping stones, its advancements, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Think about the lives of multitudes who have been remarkably well in so many respects. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present work. The man named Demas was faithful to the Lord's cause for some time. But somehow or other, he let life become so bogged down that Paul describes it as having loved this present world. Demas has forsaken me. In 1 Kings 11, verse 4, it was said concerning Solomon, and when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, so that his heart was not true before the Lord God as was King David his father. When Solomon was old, I don't know what age he was, but when he was old, he turned away from God. He did not continue to look to the ultimate end. Revelation 2:10, one of those churches in Asia Minor, Jesus said through John the Apostle, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." We must continually and constantly be faithful. Achievements or victories won yesterday cannot suffice for today. Accomplishments of years past are not going to be sufficient for the moment. Read a few days ago of one of the greatest pitchers, probably, who ever played the game of baseball. Denny McClain. He was 2 times Cy Young winner, which of course means the outstanding pitcher of that particular year in all of baseball. Won 2 awards, the Cy Young Award. He was the last pitcher to have won 30 games in a season. Remarkable. Talented. With all of those awards and all of those wins. But even with all of his achievements, it is not with a degree of joy at all, but with a degree of sadness and concern. But I have to tell you that this day, Denny McClain is in the federal penitentiary in Atlanta. There because of several charges. Cocaine possession, extortion, and several other charges. Sentenced to 23 years in prison. He will not be eligible for consideration of parole until 1992. 7 years from now. And yet, a person that achieved, person that accomplished, a winner, winning all of those awards when just a few years ago he pitched for the Detroit Tigers. He also later was with some other teams, but his point and time of acclaim was that particular team. What about a person who accomplished so much, who had so much talent. As he said, living in the fast lane, let him behind prison walls. Now there are many people, and I'm sure that our world is full of folks like Demas, of people like Solomon, who turn away from the Lord, of folks like Denny McClain, who accomplished so much, who had so much promise. But today, the baseball pitching that he does is for the team called the Denny Tigers, a prison team behind those prison walls. All of this says to us that we need not lose sight, and we must not lose sight of the course or the direction. Some of the finest, some of the most talented people who've lived, as these who've been mentioned, who have excelled in so many ways, have somehow lost sight or lose sight of the goal and falter along the way. I hope and pray that each one of us will realize that we must be faithful to the Lord all the way, all the time. That we need to have goals in our life as stepping stones for the ultimate purpose of one day being owned and received and crowned by the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to have goals or reach them, we need to know where we're going. Thomas Edison said the most important factor of invention can be described is in knowing what you wish to achieve. Know what you're trying to achieve. Alexander Graham Bell said, I determined that I would spend the rest of my life, if necessary, in trying to develop or trying to invent a mechanical hearing device. In the process, he was able, of course, to learn to send words or sound over a wire, the telephone, and all of the marvelous developments from it. But he said, I determined that if it took the rest of my life, I was going to find some mechanical hearing device. We must know where we're going. We must have a time schedule. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Plato, the great philosopher, tells us that a work well begun is half done. And so we need to have the thought, the idea of where we're going. In order to have goals and to realize that we can achieve them, we must know too that energy is unlimited. We do not create energy in ourselves. Nobody can. We can only set energy free, loosen it, or transform it. We see this in the minerals that the Lord has given in our great land. Some time ago, men debated over how old the world was. And there were those who would tell us the world must be millions and billions or maybe even trillions of years old. And they would say, this must be because look at the deposits of coal. That it would take so many, many years for those layers of coal to be developed from decaying matter. That kind of process would require millions of years. But in the Genesis account, we know that when God made man in His own image, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul, that Adam was made full grown, and so was Eve. Now if the Lord, in the creative process, made the first man full grown, not necessitating many months and several years of growth to reach adulthood, couldn't that same God lay the minerals, deposits that under normal process would require hundreds and thousands of years to develop? Couldn't He have those already there just as surely as He made man full grown at first? Certainly so. I'm sure that all geologists would admit that for coal to develop, that it does require in the natural and normal process hundreds and maybe thousands of years. But you see, the Lord took care of all of this. The Lord gave us the energy. He gave us the power. He gave us the resource when He made man. And man has to just unloose that. He just has to ignite that coal and it's able to do many, many things. He has to just use that oil and it's productive of many things. So the Lord gave us the resource. He gave us the energy. What we need to do is to unloose it or use it. Now, my friend, I've emphasized these things to impress upon us that that same God that gave us a world that has tremendous unlimited power within it. Oh, I know people get uptight and they worry, they become dismayed, they become afraid. I wonder what's going to happen when all of our natural resources are depleted, when the oil in the Midwest East gives out, and when our resources are gone. I don't believe that we need to be frightened for one single solitary moment. That doesn't mean that we're to waste. But I believe the Lord has given us energy and power sufficient to meet all of our needs for all time when we just unloose those. And I know that the Lord has given us the resources. He's given us the talent. He's given us the abilities in order to do His work as members of His family. We have unlimited resources. Within this church, there are the resources to meet all of the needs that exist. All of the situations we face, God makes us strong enough, rich enough, able enough to meet those resources or those things that need to be met. Unlimited energy. Unlimited power. We have the power of the resources. In Romans 10, verses 1 and 2, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul wanted Israel saved. That was his burning desire that his fellow countrymen would be saved. He said, I know that they have a zeal for God, but it's not governed by knowledge. It's not regulated by the truth of God, by the will of God. Brethren, today, as we look at our world around about us, would many of us have to say that there are a lot of folks that have a lot of zeal and a lot of enthusiasm who may not be following the teaching as outlined in God's Word, while we, as members of the body of Christ, as Christians, having the greatest power in all the world, the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. That we have this great resource, that we have this great power, and yet we do not unloose that power. We keep it in the bookshelf. We fail to transmit the message. We fail to ignite the spark to reach the hearts and souls of men. We're going to have that wonderful opportunity in these days ahead that each one of us may say to himself or herself, I want to set this or that particular goal in my life. And I want it to be reached. And I know that it can be reached with the Lord's strength and the Lord's help. He promises that I don't need to be dismayed. I don't need to be afraid. And that He will be with us wherever we go. Verse 9 of Joshua 1. That same God who said to Joshua, you don't need to be afraid or dismayed, is that same God that says to us, neither do we, that He'll be with us wherever we go. He'll be with us in all the pursuits for the advancement of His cause. And let's be sure that we have those goals before us. Let them not be diminished. Let's not lose sight of them. But let's pursue goals and let's reach them. Let's climb those mountains because mountains are for climbing. The challenge that's before us is just one of many I hope that all of us will make in advancing the cause of the Lord by using the resources, the energy, the strength that He has given unto us that is adequate. Our Lord has given resources enough to light our world, literally, to run our factories, to operate our plants. But even more than that, He's given us energy and strength and power and sufficiency, able to do even more than that in the advancement of His cause, in meeting the needs and fulfilling the demands of the world in which we live. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. You need to surrender your life to Jesus in obedience to His will, acknowledging His wonderful name, repenting of your sins, being baptized, rising to walk in a new life.